Blog Talk Radio.
Sweep those streets I used to roam. I get the visual there. I used to rule the world. Okay, now I'm sweeping the streets I used to own, not just roam. Hey, everybody, welcome. This is This Week in Digital Media on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your co-host, Greg Masters, co-founder and director of digital media strategy for Zanate Media. That's X-A-N-A-T-E, Zanate Media. And always, as always, I'm joined at the hip by my co-host and Zanate Media creative director, the ever-talented Mr. Lon Levin.
Hello, Greg. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Me too.
Excellent. Sunny day in San Diego here, weather temperature somewhere around 72 degrees. Now, much of the country is just baking, and we're just blessed out here on the West Coast. So,
yeah.
Okay, we're broadcasting today from San Diego, California on July the 20th, 2011, and Lon is in Los Angeles, California.
The weather here, Greg, is equally nice. It's temperate. I'm out here in Silver Lake, and it's really nice and sunny, and it's not more than about 75 degrees. That's nice. It's comfortable. It's great.
Temperate, isn't it?
Temperate, yeah.
Okay. And rumor has it that we may, and I underscore may, be joined by our roving co-founder and world-class traveler, Alan Harris. But that remains to be seen. So our intention today is to give the audience a brief update of some of the things on our radar screen in the general domain of digital media. So, Lon, what's up first on the agenda?
Well, first of all, Greg, I wanted to direct people and also let them know that we've updated our site, theillustratorsjournal.com, and it's been expanded to include much more than it had there before. Aside from the journal itself, there are regular posts. And there's a list of our tweets, and there'll be quotes of the day, cartoons, all kinds of good stuff. So I encourage everybody to go there.
I just want to intervene. That's illustratorsjournal.com.
What did I say?
No. You said the Illustrators Journal, which in fact is the title, but the web address is Illustrators Journal.
Some other person got it.
.com. Yeah. Yeah, and it's a cool, we're proud of it. That's a cool production. We've got, it's a blog, which we've launched, and there is a parallel digi magazine, as you have so labeled it, and the first edition is the July edition. So tell us a little bit about
it. And license that, register that name so that people can pay me like they pay Pat Riley for three-peat.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Three-peat, cha-ching, three-peat, cha-ching. Yeah, right. Okay.
So what I wanted to tell you about the journal in particular, I had a couple posts that I put up there this week, and I'll just quickly let people know what they are. One is about, the opening one was about N.C. Wyatt, who I consider the father of modern illustration. I mean, there are others too, but N.C. Wyatt, who is the father of Andrew Wyeth and the grandfather of Jamie Wyeth, all painters. I believe Wyeth had a sister also who was a painter. Fantastic illustrator. And there's a little bit of information about NC on the site. I suggest people go there, take a look. He illustrated books like Treasure Island, King Arthur, all kinds of great stuff. Very inspirational to me when I was growing up and also when I was at Art Center studying illustration. I was surprised to find out that some people didn't even know that he existed. This was kind of shocking to me, but I guess out of my world, that can happen.
Happy birthday, Degas.
Yeah, Degas.
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 Degas. Like Vegas, you know, Degas.
Vegas. No, Degas, 177, yesterday.
Wow.
And, you can hear my dog in the background.
Arr!
cheering him on. Yeah, 177 for Edouard Degas.
Wow.
And he, again, a groundbreaking painter, impressionist, and a draftsman unparalleled. His horse racing paintings and drawings and his ballerina paintings and drawings are without peer, one of the greatest. And so we at the Illustrative Journal celebrate his birthday, as we will other artists' birthdays that are significant. And the other thing that I put up there, which I thought was pretty interesting, was about psychedelic art, which was very big back when we were growing up. And so some of the artists that...
Oh, I'm digging that. I mean, Bob Dylan. Okay.
Bob Dylan, that poster done by the iconic Milton Glaser, who was with Pushpin Studios along with Seymour Quash. They operated out of New York and did some of the most seminal artwork of that period. And we have the Dylan poster up there for people to see. Also, I featured Alan Aldrich, who's an English artist, who did a book, I think two or three books of Beatle lyrics. His stuff is fantastic, just imaginative, fantastic. Great compliment to Beatles lyrics. I suggest anybody going out and get Alan Aldrich's books.
Well, I'm sitting here getting sucked into that wormhole of this optical illusion.
Yeah, the optical illusion. Yeah, I think that's great. It works on our site so well. I'm just so happy with that. But that's the kind of stuff we looked at when we were partaking of certain herbs back in the day.
And so I noticed this featured quote of the day on the site, on the blog. Quote of the day, you're damn right I tweeted you. What's that about?
Well, that's a cartoon that I did. And, you know, there's a... It features a guy, you can't see it, but if you go to the site, you'll see it. It features a patient in a waiting room, the small waiting room, doctor waiting room. Usually you come to the doctor, you say, I'm here, and they say, well, wait a moment, and you sit and you wait. And then after you've waited a sufficient amount of time to let you know that the doctor is important, they say, okay, you can come in now, Mr. Levin or Mr. Masters, and you go into the little waiting room. And they come in, and sometimes they'll say, take off your clothes, the doctor will be right in. And you sit there for however many minutes. And in this particular cartoon, the fellow's been sitting there quite a long time. It's freezing in the room. He's naked. There's frost coming out of his mouth. And the doctor peeks open from the door, and the patient says to him, you're damn right I tweeted you. And that's
right. So he's shivering. Clasping his iPhone or Droid,
right,
whatever.
Clasping his iPhone, exactly. Because even if you're naked, you got to carry your iPhone around.
Right. So medicine, technology, digital media—it's all out there. So that's great. So that's the Illustrator's Journal or illustratorsjournal.com, the blog,
right.
And of course the Illustrator's Journal, the Digi Magazine, launched in this month, I believe. July 15th, just a few days ago. What's up with that? What do you got there?
Well, in there, and again, you go to the site, you can click on the magazine itself, you go to a page turn, and there's different ways you can look at it. You can zoom in, you can just page turn, or whatever, however you want to look at it. The first one of the first articles is 10 Questions With, which is a feature that we've developed, and the first artist that we have featured is Greg Spolanka, artist extraordinaire, a fabulous illustrator who has done many covers for Newsweek, Time. He's a visionary for filmmakers. He was the lead visionary for the movie Ant Bully, which is based on a children's book, a very popular children's book. And I did an interview with Greg, and it's in there, and he's a very fascinating guy. He has a seminar that he gives called Artist as Brand, which I highly recommend to anybody who wants to brand themselves, as we're all trying to do as artists, because these days you cannot just be a guy sitting around waiting for someone to hire you. You got to be proactive, and that means branding yourself. And Greg is one of the experts in knowing how to do that. So we have some interesting questions for Greg, and he answered them. So that's in there. Then we have the Master's View, which is, again, is an article that you wrote about social media. Is it a magic bullet for artists? And I think there's some really good stuff in there for people interested in this area. And whether it's a magic bullet or not, Greg, it's important.
There you go. Yeah.
It's important, and people got to engage. If you, again, you can't sit around these days. Things are happening too fast. You've got to be coming at people from all angles and use every weapon in your arsenal. And so social media is one of those big weapons, like pulling out a howitzer. So we've got that, which I think is a great article that you wrote. I commend you on that. And then there's an article about licensing art. Is it good? Is it bad? That's a question that I pose. Having been a person who worked as a licensing artist for a time for different kinds of art, I pose a question to anybody. I also included some artwork from a friend of mine and an expert illustrator in the licensing area, Keith Batchelor, who did lots and lots of Disney illustrations for packaging, posters, a true pro. So I pose that question, and that's up to, you know, an artist to read and decide for themselves. Do I want to be involved in licensing art, or do I want to do my own thing?
Good stuff, Juan. So that's the July edition. And
also, I want to make one more mention. We've got, as every month we probably will, or most every month, Mark Susnow from his life coaching series. We include, you know, this month, Inspire Possibilities, Letters on Life. And Mark is terrific in imparting and synthesizing what you might need to know about handling creativity in your life.
So what's in store for the August edition?
The August edition promises to be good, if not better. It will feature Regina Holiday, who we had on last week, as an activist artist, and we will be covering her.
Yeah, now let me say something about Regina, because
you know a lot about Regina.
She's a talented artist, and she's on a mission because of a personal life tragedy with the death of her husband, which was deemed by many in retrospect as an avoidable death had people been paying attention to clues that were indicated in medical records that were not digitized or electronic medical records. So Regina's out there being an advocate, a very vocal and effective advocate for health reform and getting electronic health records more mainstream in medicine. So she's on a mission, and she communicates that very effectively through art.
Yeah, she does artwork on jackets, has people wear their jackets with personal stories in the artwork. What I really commend her on, aside from what you just said, is she's using art as a way to send a message, a positive message, I respect that quite a bit. One of the things that I wanted to do after my career in entertainment business was to take my art and use it towards some kind of good, and she's done a terrific job of that and will continue to do that.
Excellent. So what else is on the agenda? What's going on in this digital media domain?
Well, you know, there's a couple little things that I picked up and I just wanted to touch on. Get your feeling about it as well. So one of the articles I saw recently was that Corbis, and I don't, most artists should know about Corbis. Corbis is a repository for imagery, photographic imagery from all eras, to be used as stock photography, and you can buy it to use in comping up your work or to actually use in finished work, whether it's a poster, an ad, whatever.
So let me stop you there, Lon, because I just keep it. Now, is that Corbis?
That's correct.
Okay, so there's Corbis Images, premium stock quality photography.
Right.
Is that it? Okay.
I recommend any artist of any type being aware of Corbis, whether you use it or not. I happen to use it quite a bit for, you know, when I want to scrap on something. I'm working on an animated piece now. I had to find scrap on a Little Red Schoolhouse. Corbis has it, you know, in different ways. And so that's it's something that is terrific. It reminds me of the old, when I was in school, before all this digital stuff happened, we were told to keep scrap files and just tear things off, put them in files. It was so cumbersome and ridiculous. This, you know, way of storing imagery that Corbis does is so, it makes everything easy for everybody. But what I wanted to say about Corbis is not exactly what Corbis is all about, but they acquired something called Splash News, which is a candid celebrity photo and video agency. And Splash, it has about 3,000 photographers, active photographers that they work with, and they consistently capture the most significant celebrity stories and pictures around the globe. This is, you know, when you think about it, this is the value of digital media. We're able to, and I'll give you examples. Here, you know, when the uprisings happened in the Middle East, they had, I'm sure, hundreds of photographers there that were able to take digital photos and send them right from the squares that they were at into the news agencies and immediately get it out, you know, so that everybody knew what was going on. So you're tweeting and you're Facebooking, and it helped the revolution. It helped people to overthrow governments. That's the power of digital media. And Splash Photography is right in there.
Well, that's interesting. We didn't talk about this ahead of the show, but I'm on the site, and they have a 24/7, 365 program always on. And it's a curated selection of images tied to significant moments in 2011. And that is a powerful – and I see there's an art center connection here.
Really?
Yeah. Always On, talks from leaders in the art and design in a world that's constantly connected and always looking for the next great thing. The global design community faces the ongoing challenge of relevance. To help – Corbis has partnered with Arts Center College of Design to film luminaries from around the world talking about the subjects that matter to the creative community today.
Hey, why not being interviewed?
Yeah. Hey, well, you got to get to that Rolodex, Mr. Arts Center Design, gradually.
Yeah, really. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm the black sheep of Arts Center. They tend not to call me back.
No. Well, anyway.
Just kidding. I love them. They're great.
Yeah.
Actually, Art Center is a great place, not to diverge. I got a great education there, so I have nothing to complain about.
So Corbis Images, great repository, worthwhile cause.
Exactly. So they acquired Splash, and they're going to have even more access, more stuff. Hopefully there's more of the type of thing I just mentioned about, you know, overthrowing dictatorships than there is pictures of Brangelina and Kim Kardashian's behind.
Please.
But, you know, there are people interested in that, too, so there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. I guess there's a market for every message, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So one of the other things that I came across was this article about how tablets now, like an iPad, are making digital textbooks cool on campus and college. Now, if you can just imagine this, remember, you and I went to UCLA, then I went to Art Center. I can't imagine having an iPad, you know, with me at college to tap into libraries where I could look at textbooks and then also go on the internet. You know, if I see something in a textbook and then I want to go on the internet to get more information, I can access it with an iPad. It's cool. And I think that's what's really great about it, because it inspires or it helps students to be more interested in studying and reading.
Well, it's almost not fair. I mean, I think back on, you know, pre-UCLA, which was graduate school for me, I think back at Berkeley, and I think of sitting in these massive lecture halls of 300, 400, 500 people.
Oh, yeah.
And being just, you know, a grain of sand on the beach, totally irrelevant, trying to follow a message, you know, whether it's biology or psychology or social, whatever, and just drifting away. You got a laptop or an iPad today. You either drift away or you drill into what's being said. But I just think, wow, no fair. Wish we had that back then.
Yeah, it's such an advantage. And so I'm hoping that most students, you know, take advantage of that and don't use it just to zone out and listen to, you know, music, listen to Coldplay, right, while they're in class with your...
Hey, don't knock Coldplay.
Yeah. I know, you're a big Coldplay.
That's my trademark song.
Well, then Aerosmith, which is just one of my favorite bands.
Right.
Guns N' Roses. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was something that I thought was pretty cool, digital media, thing happening with tablets. The other thing I came across here was, and this is pretty interesting, I had no idea about this. Maybe you've heard about it, but I doubt it. Proust, Proust.com. Now, Proust is a social networking service designed for preserving family members' memories. So you basically set up a family member file, and everybody contributes, whether they have old photographs of, great grandpa out in the Ukraine farming, or a Civil War veteran, or something like that, so that everybody can access the same folder. And this is access the same memories. This is a subsidiary company of Barry Diller's IAC Interactive Corp. And I got to commend Barry Diller. And I worked for Barry Diller at Fox when I was there. He was not a pleasant man. But I do have to commend him. His business acumen is unquestionable. And he's jumped into this arena very early on, and he's done some terrific stuff. And I think this is a terrific thing. It's a way to preserve memories for the future so that your family can, instead of going, hey, what did Grandpa look like? Or, do we have any pictures of Mom as a kid? It'll all be there if the family knows about it. So I think this is a great thing.
So that's interesting. Proust.com. Proust, know the ones you love, a way for you and your family to share and preserve your stories one question at a time. And mm-hmm. then there's a Facebook Connect option. Interesting.
Yeah, and also it's according to the CEO and co-founder, Tom Cortese of Proust, the web is now ready to be used to capture our most important moments and memories. That's a quote from him. So I hope that works out. I think it's a cool thing.
Very cool, Juan. Very cool.
Now we got to get to Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, man. Wednesday night, Comic-Con opens up to, when you go to Comic-Con, I don't know if you've been there. I've been there a few times. And the last time I think was maybe last year or the year before. It is a sight to behold. First of all, you can barely move because there's so many people there, and you've got all your Trekkies and all your Twilight people and all these people dressed up in costume. You got Wookiees and Princess Leia. I once saw Princess Leia. She must have been 300 pounds, shoved into an outfit for somebody weighing 150. It was not exactly Carrie Fisher. But, this is what you see. And so it's this cornucopia of craziness and cartoon characters and superheroes. And it's obviously incredibly popular because we tried to register for it a month ahead of time and could not register. That was it. You couldn't get in. Fortunately, we know some people, and maybe we'll get in through the Society of Illustrators Los Angeles. We'll give a shout out to them. But I wanted to say something about Comic-Con, because there's a couple of movies premiering there. Cowboys and Aliens is going to premiere at Comic-Con, and the director is Jon Favreau of Swingers fame. And this seems like an interesting film idea to me. However, when I look at the trailers, I think to myself, this is an interesting film concept that possibly has gone awry and is too ridiculous to work. I haven't seen it. I know nothing about it. It's just my gut feeling from being in the industry for 25 years that this concept might not work, and it just seems too weird to me. But you never know. It might work out. I think Daniel Craig is the star of it. I like him. Harrison Ford's in it. Could be interesting, but it's premiering at Comic-Con, and I'm sure we'll have things out of San Diego about it soon. Also premiering there, and this I kind of want to see, even though I'm not sure this one movie will work, Captain America. It's premiering Thursday night, one day before the nationwide opening. That in itself is a little dangerous for a movie like Captain America because it tells me something about the movies. Usually they don't like to premiere big movies like that a day before the nationwide break, because if it gets bad reviews or somebody says something bad on TV, it could kill box office. But they must feel pretty confident about it. And the trailers I've seen look awesome. So maybe it works. I kind of like the concept of Captain America a lot. Also there will be Steven Spielberg and Peter Jackson, who will be talking about the upcoming movie, another one I'm not so sure about, Tintin, which is based on the French comic book character of Yar. And I don't know how you update this. I don't know how they're going to do it, although Spielberg and Jackson are tremendous filmmakers. I have no idea how this will work, because I'm personally not a fan of Tintin. I don't like the artwork. French, and I love French artwork, comic book artwork. I've seen some fabulous French illustrators. But Tintin, I'm not so sure about. But they will be there to talk about Tintin, and they'll probably show some clips in it. And maybe we'll get some heads up from some reviewers or bloggers or tweeters about Tintin. And, of course, it would not be Comic-Con if the Twilight trio of Kristen Stewart, Taylor Watson, and Robert Pattinson were not there.
Oh, well, I'll just jot it down and be sure I'm there.
I'm not sure about this Taylor Lautner. I don't know if you know what he looks like, but I'm not so sure about this guy. He looks weird to me. I can't tell if he's cool and macho looking or he looks demented.
Well, look.
He's buff, man. The guy's buff. He looks really good. But.
You are just smiled and dialed here, and I could say, even though we're the same boomer demographic, I just go, huh? And I don't know anything about that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know too much about it either. I just know that I'm kind of sick of Twilight, even though I've never even seen the movie. I'm sick of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So let me just add to your just absolutely phenomenal synopsis here and highlighting of some of the major events. I mean that sincerely, Lon.
Yeah,
so you go to it's Comic-Con 2010. That's on the web at comic-con.org. And for those of you, shout out to the Twitter sphere, that you can follow them on Twitter at @comic_con @comic_con on Twitter. And they tonight apparently is a preview night from 6 to 9 p.m. They're at the San Diego Convention Center at 111 West Harbor Drive, downtown San Diego. Beautiful marina view there. Yeah, a lot. I mean,
there's more going on, Greg, with Comic-Con. I want to say some more things.
Oh, okay. Well, pardon me for...
Okay.
God, stepping on your toes.
No, I just want to make sure that the two or three listeners out there get this information.
Absolutely.
There will be new TV show premieres as well.
Oh, man.
True Blood, Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead, Person of Interest, which personally I am really interested in that show. I want to see what that's all about. Grimm, which I know nothing about, and Terra Nova, which I know nothing about. They're also, and of course, this is the crux and the core and heart of Comic-Con, video game premieres. The new Halo, the new Gears of War, the new Batman, the new Spider-Man. I mean, does it get any better?
Oh, my God.
And you know something? Look, this is all for the millennial generation. You know, they're taking over, and it's up to us to stay in step, to be part of what's going on. I mean, it's really, if you want to be in touch with the world and the digital media and what's happening, which is what we're trying to do for people, you gotta get into these things however you do it. You know, you just got to kind of be aware that this stuff's going on. I haven't played any of these games. I've seen Gears of War. And, you know, there's a lot of blood splattering and limbs being yanked off and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not so sure that it's healthy. But then again, that's where we're at. We've got to be aware of it, you know. So
if none of that, you know, wets your whistle here, you will absolutely be drawn into this thing by the incentive of a free Warner Brothers backpack.
Oh, there's a couple others I do want to mention. Very important. Now, these really appeal to me. They're new digital games, Death Spank, Hothead Games, Fires of Bacon, Ultimate Mayhem, Boulder Dash, Worms, and Blood Rain. And Blood Rain has they're touting it. It has an explosion of body parts. This is all for Xbox.
Oh, whoopee.
You cannot miss this.
There you go. I'm sold. Explosion of the body parts. Sign me up.
We sound like a bunch of old men, but I tell you, really, this stuff is exciting. And so...
yes, it is.
I want to just point out something also, and this is part of digital media. It's about DVD sales. I'm skipping now to something that I read that's it's kind of interesting. DVD sales are off. They're literally collapsing. The whole market for DVD is going the way of the toilet, circling the drain. 25% off of $20 billion in sales in 2006, today, as of today, 25% off. And the predictions are not good for the sales, digital sales, because digital sales, they were hoping that buying films online would follow the same model as the DVD model and the Blu-ray, which has failed miserably as well. But now they're realizing that is not the way it's going to go. And in response to that, or maybe ahead of this, Apple is thinking that they're going to create a cloud service for distribution of films. And this way of distributing films and TV shows and games is most likely going to help the studios with saving costs on, particularly with films where you have the prints and advertising costs, which will be eliminated because it will all be digital. They'll be saving a lot of money that way.
But shouldn't it drive demand for artists like illustrators, animators?
It will. Well, the demand for illustrators and artists, and that's why I think that part of our mission here is to inform illustrators and artists. This is the area to go into. The old model of illustrating for magazines, posters, it's extremely limited these days. And so if you're planning to go in, you've got to be versatile. But I would strongly suggest anybody coming into being a commercial artist go towards a digital arena. Learn your digital tools. Learn how to use a tablet. Learn how to draw digitally, paint digitally in various different ways, because that's what's happening now. The old way is just going by the wayside, and you're not going to do well if you continue to go with the old model. So part of our mission here in the Illustrator's Journal, which is Zanate Media, is to inform people what's going on, and they can stay ahead of the curve. And I'm sure at schools like Art Center and Pratt and Visual Arts, they're telling them the same thing. It's a little weird in a sense, Greg, and I feel this as an artist. You like to have a tangible object. You like to have a canvas with a painting on it. You like to have a board with a painting on it. Because that's what we're used to. And if it all goes into digital space, you don't get to put it on your wall or anything like that, even though there are digital frames and you could. It's not the same. It's not tactile. You don't see the light reflecting off. And I think that is maybe keeping people from jumping in full-time doing digital art. I know that it has been a problem for me because I've done thousands of pieces digitally that unless I print them out, no one ever sees them, other than what they were used for. So maybe in the future they'll figure out something. I don't know. It'll make it attractive.
Well, I'd asked you this once before, with all the explosion in digital media, that I asked you if illustration was a dying art. And in fact, it's having the opposite effect. It's expanding a market. It's expanding demand. It's certainly driving demand for, the software and the digital design packages that are out there. But God, look at Comic-Con. It's exploding. Look at the gaming world, the demand for artistic contribution, storyboarding, the whole narrative development. If anything, it's exploding exponentially.
It is. It's just you got to make sure you're in the right market and following the right way of doing things. And there's nothing, I'm working, again, I go back to what I've been working on. I'm working on some animation for a company called Early Lingo, and I'll give a shout out to them. We've done 3 episodes before, working on 3 episodes now of animation. We're doing everything digitally. I have an animator working in Florida. I have an animator working in New York, one in Pasadena. I'm here in Silver Lake. We never meet. We just talk over the internet via Skype, emails. We use Dropbox. We use YouSendIt. And we are all looking at materials and doing things digitally. Everything is digital, using Flash, Illustrator, Photoshop. And we send all this to the client for approval. We're sending them QuickTime animatics done in, I believe it would be After Effects, we're using for the animatics, sending it for approval. I mean, this is unbelievable. And done at a very economical model, as opposed to what might have happened 30 years ago when you had to storyboard things, you know, by hand.
Cool.
No, it's very, everything's changing. You got to get with it.
Exciting, inspiring, challenging, all at the same time.
Absolutely.
So what else, Ron? That's a great recap. Anything else on your radar?
No, Greg, you know, that covers the notes I had made. I just want to say that, you know, I'm really excited about what we're doing and the different areas that we're going in. One of the things that we're doing is we're doing coverage of the Huntington Beach a Nike Open of Surfing. Is that what they call it?
That's it. Shout out on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's right.
We have a publication that we've developed called Surf Geek, and it's a publication geared towards surfers and surf enthusiasts who are not Kelly Slater or Andy Irons or all the greats who generally populate surf magazines. It's just for the regular guys, you know. It's for the geeks who would love to go out and surf, but the most they can do is get on a boogie board and take a wave in Santa Monica onto the shore. And so we cover certain things that cater to them, you know. So, cause, you know, anybody can go in the water and have fun. You don't have to be a fantastic surfer to enjoy a wave. I personally, after surfing 40 years, just paddling out and rolling under a wave is fun for me. I'm just happy I can do it. So that's what our publication's all about. It's for everybody else.
Well, and let's just mention that this is go to the usopenofsurfing.com, usopenofsurfing.com. Now, this starts like end of the month. You can go on site and get sort of the news updates. But they'll be live streaming, and we will be there, you know, representing
live streaming,
representing the old farts contingent. You know,
in fact, we're going to find the oldest people out there,
right?
View them and see how they're.
So I did give them a shout out, and also you can follow them on Twitter, and I had that up here just moments ago. It's at US Open of Surf.
Yeah, we'll be Twittering, we'll be interviewing people, and we'll be putting those interviews up on the site, and we'll be taking photographs, which will be featured in some of the upcoming magazines. I took photographs there a couple of years ago and had a great time on the pier, you know, kibitzing with other photographers who were there for real legitimate magazines. And it's like a big block party. It's a beach party. You're out there grilling. You're drinking Coronas, you know. You're watching these incredible surfers. I mean, the day that I went out there, the waves were like 6 to 10 feet. It was fantastic. And I went on the pier. I took photos. I was within 100 feet of guys surfing down below me. If you haven't seen a surfing event close up, that's about as close as you can get. And I highly recommend people going out there. But for those of you who won't go out there, we're going to cover it. We have a blast.
We'll be there for you. And I'm just looking at the site here. This is a blog post, the U.S. Open of Surfing build out, and they're building their the behind the scenes look at people and responsible for creating one of the biggest action sport events in the world. Goes on to say, a lot goes on into building a temporary city on the sand in Huntington Beach. There have been 8 forklifts, 20 mules, 22 office trailers, a production crew, and 50-plus hardworking men and women on the sand this past week. And also 110 semi-trucks have been unloaded to start setting up for the 1.5 miles of ADA pathway, 2 skate bowls, 3 miles of cable, 4 live TV sets, 7 jumbotrons, 60 booths, 2,500 square feet brand experience area, 7,500 square foot retail, and 70,000 square foot of flooring, 100,000 square foot of banners, and 140,000 square feet of tenting. So, I mean, this is going to be a humongous production.
Oh yeah, it really is. And aside from what they put on, Greg, there are street performers who, I guess on the north side of the pier, perform, and they're really terrific, doing all kinds of skating, or acrobatics. There's always something happening. So like I said, it's a big grilling street block party, and anybody who loves the beach, and hopefully for that week there'll be great weather, which there usually is, it's something you got to go to.
Right, and this is what it means to live in California, at least Southern California.
This is absolutely it. You guys on the East Coast
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that's awesome, Lon. Really good stuff. Appreciate the succinct synopsis. I love your enthusiasm. And
I love yours. And I love all the information you're picking up here. It's great stuff, you know, that I didn't even know about. So makes me even more excited to go down there.
Well, we're going to wind it down with that. I mean, it's just an awesome installment in This Week in Digital Media with Zenate Media hosts Lon Levin and me, Greg Masters. We do this weekly on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, and we hope that you will join us or continue to join us and engage with us either on the blog, call in during the show, drop us a line, info@zenatemedia.com, or follow us on Twitter at Zenate Media, that's XANATE MEDIA, and let's stay in touch. So, Lon, thanks again, brother. Have a great day. And
I'm going to go get some lunch now, Greg. I'm hungry.
Okay. Well, thanks again, all, and talk to you next week. Bye now.